Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Buy with 19,000 U.S. clients with nearly $18 billion in assets choose to open up accounts in Switzerland. It seems plain that part of the answer is that they wanted to open undeclared accounts that the IRS would not know about. They wanted secrecy, and UBS gave them secrecy.
August may be the hottest month, but it's not the weather that's making some folks, at least some very rich folks, sweat. And as you heard Senator Carl Levin there, the heat is on Swiss Bank, UBS, and their American clients. Late last week, the IRS announced a settlement with the Swiss government in which UBS will turn over the identities behind some 4,500 secret accounts, accounts which have likely been used to avoid paying taxes here in the U.S. It all adds up to at least $10 billion, and the settlement could signal a big shift in the ways Swiss banks operate, close a major haven for tax evaders. Carrick Mollenkamp is a reporter on the Wall Street Journal covering financial institutions. He's been writing regularly about the UBS investigation for months now. Carrick, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you.
So just give us a big background. What is it that happened in this case that led to this sort of kind of astounding settlement?
Yes, a pretty fascinating turn over the last 2 years. I mean, for a long time, the IRS had tried to kind of crack bank secrecy or accounts offshore. They started to have luck in the late 1990s by using credit cards tied to offshore accounts. Certainly Mr. Levin, who you had speaking a second ago, has pressured the IRS and Treasury to step it up. And Mr. Levin's Senate investigative panel has had a number of reports. Where the big break came is in 2007 when a former UBS private banker named Bradley Birkenfeld, who was sentenced last week, came forward and started to provide a lot of the secrets on how UBS private bankers had come in from Zurich to help U.S. clients.
So how did it happen that the Swiss government and the FBI arrived at this deal?
Well, I think they'd been working on this. It was a number of parties. It was the U.S. government, so Treasury. We believe the White House was involved, the IRS, the Swiss government, UBS, all had been trying to work towards some sort of settlement ahead of a Florida court hearing in federal court in Miami that was going to basically tell UBS either you have to turn over thousands of names or you don't. But all were trying to reach a settlement ahead of that. And they were able to broker that in recent weeks. And both sides have claimed victory, although I think the Swiss government's claim is probably a little bit empty.
Now, are they turning over this information? I mean, is it going to be publicly available, or is it just going to be known to the U.S. government?
I think at the end of the day, and we're talking probably 12 to 18 months, some of the UBS clients will become publicly known because criminal prosecutions will be brought, and those will be filed in courts. The names are going to go through a bit of a circuitous process. The IRS, under this settlement, they have to go through these number of steps. So officially, the IRS has to go to the Swiss government, ask for the names. The Swiss government, the Swiss Federal Tax Administration, turns to UBS, asks for the files. The Swiss government has set up a panel to review the files before they'll be ultimately sent to the IRS. That's going to take about a year. They won't come in one fell swoop of 4,450 names. The panel, I think, is a slightly red herring. We haven't seen what they might block. They do have decisionary power to say, no, we're not going to give the IRS these names. But effectively, it's been teed up that the IRS will get the names. It's just kind of to show that the Swiss government are following a certain process.
So it's kind of like if you had your name in the Swiss bank, you're going to be subject to an automatic audit.
I think far more than that. It will be not just review or audit of the records, but ultimately, if it does look like you set up a sham transaction in Liechtenstein or Hong Kong or British Virgin Islands, that you're going to ultimately end up paying a hefty fine, if not facing criminal prosecution, ultimately prison.
Is there any reason why you would have had an account in Switzerland if you weren't trying to hide it? I mean, is Carl Levin right? Is it sort of, you know, de facto having an account in a Swiss bank means you were trying to hide something?
Yeah, I think broadly that's true. There may be legitimate. I mean, certainly it's not illegal to own an account over offshore. The problem is you've got to declare both any income that lands in that account and pay taxes on that, and or you've got to tell Treasury once a year in June, hey, I have a foreign bank account. I need to make you aware of this. There are legitimate reasons to use those accounts. The great preponderance.
Really? Well, I mean, other than if you're Swiss.
Yeah, there may be privacy reasons. You might be going through a mal. If you're a doctor, doctors and people that are getting divorced have used those accounts to move them out of the U.S. bank system, make it a little bit more difficult to track down. You could question the legality of that. But I think the great preponderance probably were seeking to hide income or foreign assets or U.S. securities parked overseas.
Well, let's ask that question to our listeners. I'm curious if any of our listeners have a Swiss bank account for non-trying to hide money from the IRS, a spouse, or a plaintiff in a lawsuit reasons. If you have a good reason for having a money in a Swiss bank account, we want to know what it is. 212-433-9692.
I'm not sure how many people are going to call to confess, but...
Let's find out. You never know at WNYC. Brian Lehrer Show, 212-433-WNYC. Also, by the way, we have a chart on our website, which shows the process of disclosing these names. You can find that chart at WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Now, let's... If you are somebody who, in fact, was trying to evade paying taxes in a Swiss bank, how might you have done it?
All right. Well, I think ultimately what you've got to show is a legitimate transfer of money. So you're moving money from a U.S. business account or domestic account. And what the Swiss would do with the help of, and this is important, there were outside advisors that we're now seeing that were very much a part of this. All of this kind of stems from, in 2001, a number of foreign banks signed what was called a qualified intermediary agreement with the IRS, which basically means any clients would file a specific form and notify the IRS. What UBS did was find ways to get around this qualified intermediary agreement. At the end of the day, the basic idea was to layer the accounts through two or three accounts. That ultimately would have a name, a generic name that you would have set up a shell company. So you might set up a trust in Liechtenstein or a foundation, overlay that with a corporate entity technically domiciled in Hong Kong. And once you add those layers, it just gets impossible to kind of pierce that veil.
Now, what is this? I mean, does settlement tell us anything about sort of what's coming next? Should we be expecting to see more requirements to, you know, for closing secrecy loopholes in offshore banking, or is this just an isolated case?
No, I think it's got greater ramifications. I mean, and Mr. Levin had comments last week that the pressure is going to be on the IRS to kind of make this work. But broader ramifications is, I mean, no question that U.S. clients, U.S. citizens using Swiss accounts is fewer and farther between. The Swiss banks that don't want U.S. investigators showing up at their doorstep, either here or overseas, are kicking U.S. clients out. So there's been a number of times where the Swiss banks would have notified U.S. clients, we don't want your business. That raises the specter of is kind of the Swiss bank secrecy model dead. You could debate either way. I think it's going to be less a selling point. You potentially would see money move more into Asia. I do think it represents a significant step in the IRS's efforts to crack down on offshore banking. They've seen a lot of people come forward to kind of acknowledge that they utilize these accounts in recent months.
Right. Some of that's perfectly legal, though, right? I mean, you are allowed in many cases to park your money offshore and not pay taxes.
Well, you've got to pay taxes on any U.S. or any income that was generated that then is parked in that. You've got to notify the IRS that income is residing there, and you've got to pay taxes on that. As we discussed earlier, there are legitimate reasons, but probably not as many would be outweighed by those that were seeking not to pay taxes.
All right, let's take some callers. Brad from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC with Carrick Mollenkamp of The Wall Street Journal.
Hi. Yeah, I have a bank account actually in Denmark, and I have several friends who have bank accounts abroad as well. And I think that many of the people, this may be less the case for the secret Swiss bank accounts, but are married with people who come from other countries. I know we spend a couple of weeks in Denmark each year, and just to have a credit card that we can put money in our Danish account from our American account and use it as our daily bank account while we're traveling is the reason that we do it, and I have friends who do that as well.
Carrick Mollenkamp, how many people who have Swiss banks are people because they're, you know, have reason to be in Switzerland, they have business, they have family, and it's just simpler to do that?
Yeah, well, I think the Brad's point is good. There are expat or expatriate reasons. I just was in London for a number of years. You would set up a bank account at Barclays just to have an ease of money. There are certainly expat reasons to have accounts, but I would suspect that if the caller is following rules, any income or that would be coming through that account would be declared. It sounds like it's just a basic depository account with a credit card attached to it.
Thanks for your call, Brad. Let's go to Mike from New Jersey. Hi, Mike. You're on WNYC.
Sure. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just I think this is a terrible, awful decision and policy that the government's pursuing. You know, the United States has a long history of welcoming political dissidents and refugees, and bank accounts and this type of banking privacy has been used, you know, by good people trying to hide and flee from repressive, tyrannical regimes in all over the world. And you know, the United States, by pursuing this, is basically undermining you know, a legal banking privacy precedent that's been set for a long time. It's I think it's just another step in our kind of general, you know, road down a rat hole to socialism. So
all right, let's get a response, Carrick. And let's get a response, Mike, from Carrick Mollenkamp. Carrick?
I think just two thoughts. I mean, I thought the caller was going to say, well, aren't there a number of ways to circumvent paying taxes in corporate law in the U.S.? And I know at an offshore tax panel earlier this year in Miami, a number of offshore havens such as the Caymans pointed to, well, wait a second, Delaware can effectively be used as a way to shelter taxes. But so the U.S. has its own problems, but that wasn't the caller's point. I don't think anybody is suggesting that you can't flee some sort of tyranny around the world, but if you become a U.S. citizen, I think the thinking is that you've got to pay taxes. But nobody's saying you can't flee tyrannical governments. Just pay your taxes if we make you a U.S. citizen.
All right, let's go to Francoise. Francoise, where are you calling from?
The New York metropolitan area.
The New York metropolitan area.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm a little infuriated that most people who have bank accounts, and I have one in Switzerland, are people that either their parents were Swiss, they had lived in Switzerland, they own houses in Switzerland. The majority of the people are not hiding money in Switzerland. A lot of people, it's their ethnic background, and it's very unfair because you know as well as I do, there's all sorts of people from all sorts of places in this country that have bank accounts in their countries of origin. And now because they want to demonize the Swiss and say that everybody's hiding their money there, that is not correct. I own a house there. I pay a mortgage there. That is not correct. It's a false assumption.
Carrick Mollenkamp, is it a false assumption?
Well, nobody's saying you can't have a Swiss account. Just file the form W-9 or a couple of other forms and notify the IRS. Nobody's saying that you can't have money parked there. If you've got reasons to do business there, have at it. But I think you've seen a lot of people come forward through this IRS voluntary disclosure plan of people that are declaring that they used it to hide taxes. I think the U.S. government is simply saying just file that W-9 and let us know if you've got income or a foreign account. Nobody's saying you can't have the account.
So, Carrick Mollenkamp, yesterday President Obama, who was on vacation this week, as we all know, went golfing. And who did he go golfing with but Robert Wolf, president of UBS America, who's a friend and is a major donor of his campaign. What do you make of the timing of that golf game?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't cover the White House, so I don't know what their response is. I did notice last night when I went to check the news feeds on UBS, the main story that popped up was that the president had played golf with Mr. Wolf. Mr. Wolf works in a separate part of the bank. The part that's under fire is the offshore private banking practice that's set up in Zurich. Mr. Wolf oversees UBS America's. But it does make you think Because people aren't going to be able to differentiate. And so that just seemed maybe a questionable choice of a golf partner. Just a few, you know, days after you've reached a settlement to go play golf with someone from UBS. He's a big donor, but it seemed...
Right, and as we've learned from history, presidents need to watch out about the images that they beam out.
Miss Wolf has nothing to do with it, but it just seemed like, why just...
Like confuse people
time.
Like us. And very quickly, we have to wrap, but what's the reaction in Switzerland?
I think locals, I've talked to lawyers that have been on the ground there. I think people are very, as much as the Swiss government has tried to parlay this as a victory for them, I think the Swiss locals were a bit aghast at this effort that they are disclosing their names. I don't think they're very pleased that their government has somewhat capitulated.
All right. Thanks so much. Carrick Mollenkamp is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. He's been covering the UBS case. When we come back, we will lift the veil, so to speak.